Well, as we approach God's Word this morning for a few minutes, could I ask you, have you ever had a day that didn't go the way that you had planned? Sure. Absolutely. Maybe a day, maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe a season in your life that didn't go the way that you expected. We had a day like that not too awfully long ago. It's part of our story. So we were living in the Wichita, Kansas area. We were traveling out doing ministry. We would go out for a couple weeks at a time, then we'd be back home for a while, and we'd go out again every so often. But as we got to the beginning of the year 2015, we felt like the Lord was opening the door and leading us to move in the direction of doing this full-time, this ministry that we're doing now. And not only did we feel like God was drawing us in the direction of doing this full-time, we also felt that the Lord was beginning to open the door and leading us in the direction of living on the road for a season in our lives full-time doing this ministry. And so we began to pray together as a family and just seek the Lord regarding it. Of course, one of the first things that we thought about was, well, if we're going to live on the road doing this ministry, what are we going to do with our things? And we thought, you know, we could put everything in storage. But as we prayed and talked together as a family, we felt led to just get rid of it all. So we took all of our furniture and all of our stuff, and we put it out on the front lawn, and we put out a sign that said for sale, and we sold a lot of things and gave a lot of things away and let go of the house. And of course, in the process, we were thinking, well, what's it going to look like on the road? How are we going to live on the road full time? Where will we stay? What will we do? As we prayed about that, we thought, you know, what if we just get an old school bus and convert that into a living space? And so that's what we did. We got this 1997 40-foot bluebird yellow school bus. And July 1st of 2015 was our target date to set out on the road. We had a full ministry schedule ahead of us, going up into the New England states, actually, to begin with, and about 7 weeks of ministry up there, ministry going up, and then heading out after the 7 weeks, heading west. And it wasn't too long before our departure date of July 1st that we got the school bus. And we got it home, and the boys jumped in and started tearing seats out of it, and Grace and some of the girls worked on some furnishings for the inside. We put in some basic, just rustic bunks and sleeping area and sitting area and a little kitchen area, just real simple. But this was our home on wheels. And July 1st came, and we set out on the road in our home on wheels, headed up to the New England states. Our first stop along the way, we were scheduled to be in Elkhart, Indiana. A week to the day from the time that we set out on the road, the night before our first real ministry event, full time, living on the road, we had an accident with the bus. And by God's grace, we got away with just scrapes and bruises. No one ended up in the hospital or the emergency room. But our home on wheels was done for. You know, that day didn't go the way that we had planned, right? But what a blessing. Just before we had set out on the road, the Lord had laid on my heart Psalm 34, which I quoted earlier. And did you hear what David said in Psalm 34? You can turn there if you'd like to. We're just going to be there briefly. But David said in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What a blessing it was that God had laid that verse on our hearts just before we set out on the road. It was going to be a theme passage for us. and for our ministry and just our lives on the road. And I have to believe that when David said this, he meant that both in good times and in difficult times, that he would bless or praise the name of the Lord. Because he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Right? What a blessing that was there at the accident and in the days to follow, just to be reminded that God is worthy of praise at all times, even when the bus crashes. And so I'd like us to turn, if we would, to the book of James. And not long after that, I was back in the book of James and was just reminded of this passage, and I want to draw our attention to it this morning for a few moments if we can. So James 1, let me read James 1, 1 through 4 if I could, and then we'll consider this passage. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. James here is addressing, he's speaking to Jewish believers. He says, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. He's speaking to believers. The Lord is speaking to us, right, through this passage. And so, James says here in verse 2, he instructs us, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Did you notice that James didn't say, if you meet trials of various kinds? No, he said, when you meet trials of various kinds. We don't come to know Christ and suddenly life is just a bed of roses and everything's perfect all the time, right? No, not at all. James understood that, right? And he says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. When you meet trials. The Greek here that this word comes from, pyrasmos, means this: trials with a beneficial purpose and effect. That's what James is speaking of here when he says trials. Trials with a beneficial purpose and effect, and that are divinely permitted or sent. Do we think of trials that way? As being divinely permitted in our lives, or even sent. That God allows trials and difficulties in our lives, and even ordains that we go through trials and difficulties. That's what James is talking about here. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For. So he has some instruction for us here about this. And James helps us to see at least two reasons in this passage that God allows us to go through trials and difficulties. He says, for, number one, you know that the testing of your faith produces something. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness or patience. When I hear James say that, I can't help but be drawn to the parable of the sower and the seed, right? Where it talks about the various soils that the seed is cast upon. And one of them is the rocky ground in Matthew 13. And what does it say happens there? As the seed is thrown upon the rocky ground, there's just maybe enough soil there for the seed to grow and for a plant to come up. It has the appearance of faith. But as he helps us understand what that means, he says that when trials come, the plant that is growing on the rocky soil is choked out. And so contrast that with what James is saying here, where he says, for you know that the testing of your faith, believers in Jesus Christ, those who are true believers in Christ, that's who he's talking to here. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, patience. What does that help us understand? It helps us understand that for the true believer in Jesus Christ, when trial comes, as contrasted with the rocky soil in Matthew, in that parable, when trials come for the true believer, it's not going to ultimately choke out your faith. Rather, it's going to produce something in you. Steadfastness, patience. The true believer in Jesus Christ will ultimately persevere, right? And their faith will not be choked out. So number one, God allows us to go through trials to produce things in us, to produce in us steadfastness, patience, to produce things in us that would not be produced otherwise, without us going through the difficulty of trial. The second thing, and let steadfastness, verse 4, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So James gives us another reason why God allows us and even ordains that we go through trials. Number one, to produce things in us that wouldn't be produced otherwise. And secondly, as we see in verse 4, to mature us, to grow us in the faith in ways that we would never grow or mature without going through the difficulty and the press of trial. You know, later on in Psalm 34, David says, God is good. We've talked about that as a family over the years. That truth that God is good and that God is never not being good to us. God is never not being good to us. Even when we go through the deepest, darkest trial, God has not stopped being good to us. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, in that passage that we call the Great Commission, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. All of those believing in Jesus Christ as their Savior, He will not abandon his people. He's promised to be with us to the very end. And of course, on into eternity forever and ever and ever. You know, I believe that it's when we can grab hold of some of those kinds of truths and realities about God and why he allows us to go through trials. I believe it's when we can grab hold of those kinds of truths, even when we're going through a valley that is so dark that we can't see the next step in front of us, that we can do what James has called us to here. In verse 2, count it all joy. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. And you know, James isn't talking about some kind of happy-go-lucky kind of joy that pretends nothing's wrong, right? No, we shed real tears in the midst of trials. This kind of joy, the Greek here, is a calm delight. A calm delight. It's the kind of joy that can exist even in the midst of tears. It's the kind of joy that is a deep, abiding joy that isn't dictated by our circumstances, but that rests in who God is and in his character. It's the kind of joy that rests in the understanding that God will do everything he has said he will do. He is everything that he has said that he is. We can trust him. We can absolutely trust him. It's that kind of joy. The kind of joy that when we're in the deepest, darkest valley where we cannot see even the next step in front of us, and God may feel a million miles away at the moment, we don't have to listen to our feelings, right? But rather rest in what God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So no matter how dark the trial is that we go through, and no matter how far away God may feel, nothing could be farther than the truth. He said, I am with you. I will be with you to the end. We can remind ourselves in the midst of the deepest, darkest trial, if we will preach to ourselves. You know, David does that often. I love the 103rd Psalm. It starts with David preaching to himself. And he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And so I believe, when we are in the darkest valley, if we will not listen to our feelings and our emotions and what it may feel like at the moment, and it may not feel good at the moment, but if we will preach to ourselves and remind ourselves, James says God is using this to produce things in me that wouldn't be produced otherwise. God is using this difficulty, this trial, though it may not make a lick of sense at the moment, God is using this to mature me in the faith, to grow me in the faith in ways that I would never grow otherwise. God is good. And though this does not feel good at the moment, I know he has not stopped being good to me. God is good. And though he may feel a million miles away at the moment, nothing could be farther from the truth. He is with me, even in the deepest, darkest valley. And it's then that even in the midst of tears, we can have this deep, abiding joy that rests in who God is and his character. Amen. Amen. We're going to close in a song here in just a little bit, in a few moments. But before we do, could I just share with you the rest of the story about the bus, because it relates to this. And so we were in Elkhart, Indiana. We had the accident with the bus. We didn't know what we were going to do from there. We prayed together as a family and just sought the Lord. We talked together, but we prayed. And, you know, we even asked the Lord, Lord, did we misunderstand your leading? Do you not want us out here? I mean, it's 1 week, the night before our first real ministry event, full time on the road, and our home on wheels is gone. It's done for. Do you want us to go back to Kansas? But as we prayed and talked together, we all agreed. We felt that the Lord was leading us to continue on. It was so beautiful. Within about a week and a half, the church in Wichita rallied around us. We had a couple of vans. A church in Indiana that we didn't even know let us use a cargo trailer of theirs. And we hooked it up to one of the vans. We got everything off the old wrecked school bus that we could. And we took off to the New England states. What a blessing in God's providence that we were scheduled to be in New England to begin with, because that's where I'm from. That's where I was born and raised and still have family there. So we were able to stay at my brother's house, and we would travel out with the vans and do ministry and come back and travel out and come back over those 7 weeks. And we had a home base during that time. But the 7 weeks were quickly coming to a close, and we didn't know what we were going to do when we left my brother's house. We prayed again as a family, and we just sought the Lord. Lord, do you want us to continue on? We don't know what we're going to do or where we're going to stay. But again, we all agreed. We felt that God was leading us to continue on. We didn't know where we would stay when we left my brother's house, but we knew this. We knew that if God is leading, we can trust him. If God's leading, we can trust him. We don't have to know all of the details. You know, we can trust him. And so right there at the end of the 7 weeks, we were at a little church up in Vermont on a Wednesday night. And we were sharing, you know, in the concerts and in our ministry events, just about the accident and some of the things that we've shared, you know, that I've shared this morning. Just that God can be trusted. And that evening, they wanted to take a little break in the middle of the evening for some things that they wanted to do. And a gentleman came up to me during the break, a gentleman from the church, and he said, Jim, can I run you across town? I want to show you something. Again, it was a small little town. I said, sure. We jumped into his car, his vehicle, and he ran me across town. He pulled up in front of this 1989 40-foot MCI RV-style converted bus. And he said, Jim, my wife and I have been getting this ready for us to go on the road and do ministry. But as of late, we feel like God's keeping us here in Vermont. And the Lord's given them a beautiful little church plant and ministry to a community where the bottom has fallen out of the economy, and there's a lot of homelessness and recovery community, and they're advancing the gospel there and ministering to the church. And he said, Jim, we feel like God's keeping us here. we want you to have this bus. And we just simply say with David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It's the bus that sits out by the park here this morning, and it became our home on wheels for 2.5 years. We envisioned maybe a year at first setting out on the road. The Lord kept us on the road for 2.5 years, living on the bus. And then just before Christmas this year, this last Christmas, we moved back into a house in the Wichita area, but we still do this full time. And we're out every weekend and travel all over the country still, from California to Maine to Washington State to Florida and everywhere in between. And the bus is still our home on wheels. You know, we've talked about it as a family that it's interesting that the Lord didn't give us the bus midway through our time in New England. We didn't need it then, right? We had my brother's house to stay in. But right there at the very end, when we're getting ready to step out and we don't know where we're going to stay, but we sense that God is leading us to go, and we know that we can trust him, right there at the very end, he provides the bus. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And you know, I know that not every difficulty that God allows us to go through ends with a replaced bus. Maybe you've been through that kind of trial. Maybe you're going through that kind of trial. And we've been through those kinds of trials. Those kinds of trials where what our heart would have longed for didn't happen. It wasn't God's purpose for it to end the way that we might have hoped for it to end. But isn't it a blessing, again, to hear David's words, David's heart in Psalm 34 when he said, I will bless the Lord at all times, in the good times and in the difficult times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Even when things don't go the way that we thought they were going to go, or maybe had hoped that they were going to go. Even when the bus crashes, God is worthy of praise, isn't he? God is worthy of praise. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for who you are. You are God. You are glorious. You are mighty. You are powerful. You are holy. Lord, you are so good to us, your children. And I thank you that we can count and trust in every promise that you have made, in every declaration about yourself that we behold in Scripture, we can be sure that you will keep every promise and that you are who you said you are. Give us grace, Father, to trust you. We're poor and needy, as we have heard this morning from your word. Lord, think of us. Give us grace, Father, to trust in you, to hope in you, to rejoice in you. And even when you ordain that we go through a difficult trial, thank you, Lord, that you keep us, that you cause us to persevere, that you use difficulties to produce things in us and mature us in the faith in ways that we would never mature otherwise. Oh, Father, give us grace. When you allow those seasons in your life, in our lives, Father, to count it all joy because of you and because of who you are. We love you, Lord. Give us grace in these things, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' precious, precious name. Amen.